Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. Thanks so much for tuning in on what is a Tuesday, November 1, 2019. As we push along here on this week's current sports, you know, yesterday was a bit of a somber show as we talked about two unfortunate passings in the world of Michigan State athletics. The sad passing of the brother of Cassius Winston, Zachary Winston, that occurred over the weekend. Cassius playing against Binghamton with a very heavy heart on Sunday. And we also addressed the passing of Charles Rogers, former wide receiver, great for MSU football. Just a really just tough, sad show yesterday. On today's current sports, we're going to try and up the mood up just a little bit because it is rivalry week. Michigan State and Michigan will play on the gridiron this Saturday afternoon. For Spartan fans, you know, I don't know how you view this game, but if you want some happiness in your life, you just can't think about what has happened this season. You have to approach this game and say, hey, man, maybe there is some kind of solace if you do beat Michigan, which I don't think is going to happen. But don't let me rain on your parade. You still got hope right now. The game hasn't happened yet. You still got a few days to embrace the rivalry that is Spartans and Wolverines. Some don't enjoy this week because the rivalry has gotten a bit ugly. I say, hey, that's the fun of the rivalry, really. I mean, it's supposed to be ugly. There's supposed to be some dislike there. That's what makes it a rivalry. Some people take it too far, yes. But Spartans don't like Wolverines. Wolverines don't like Spartans. All right, so I want to play for you, as we do each and every Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll bring to you the Mark D'Antonio press conference from this morning at 11:30 a.m. From the friendly confines of Spartan Stadium, Mark has gotten a chance to cool down a bit and take in and try and get to some kind of point of understanding based on what happened on Saturday in the Illinois comeback win that shocked Spartan Nation. We get a chance to hear what Mark has to say as he tries to put a lid on that loss and now looking forward to this weekend against Michigan. All right. Also, we hope to have on this edition of Current Sports, former sports features reporter Cody Tucker. Cody Tucker is going to join us around the 1:30 mark to talk about his time spent with Charles Rogers. I don't know if many of you remember about the feature that Cody put together when he was a member of the Lansing State Journal, in which he got a chance to spend about 3 or so days with Charles Rogers discussing his rise in the world of college football for Michigan State, in which he went on to, of course, become a top three NFL draft pick going to the Detroit Lions. But his NFL career never really took off, had some demons away from the field. That's keeping it lightly. And then kind of just disappeared. So Cody found Charles Rogers, spent 3 days with him, and put together a really compelling piece. And as we know, Charles Rogers sadly passed away. Still haven't gotten official word as to how that happened, but again, many media outlets out there saying that Charles was battling cancer and he needed a liver transplant, didn't get that. Doctors did not give him much time to live, and he ended up passing away. So really, really tough stuff there. So we hope to have Cody Tucker part of the hour. And also on the back end of the show, we'll talk some high school football as well, much like we did last week, as we are really in the thick of things now when it comes to high school football playoff action. We hope to have Connor Mathis of the Argus Press in Owosso, Michigan. We hope to have Connor joining us around the 1:45 mark. All right. So a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. The live stream is up and running there. Comment below that video, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Jack Kerwin behind the glass. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Montori Foster, he hopes to become Michigan State's next football player to go from a zero-star recruit to stardom. He's a two-sport athlete at a Cleveland area powerhouse St. Edward's High School. Foster announced via Twitter that he will join the Spartans' 2020 football recruiting class. He becomes their 17th pledge for next season, joining high school teammate and defensive end Jeff Petrowski. Now, Foster does not have a composite ranking from 247sports.com, but the website's own rankings recently gave him 3 stars and lists him as the 26th best player in Ohio and number 140 receiver nationally. This is in large part because until recently he was strictly a basketball player who had Division I offers from Akron and Eastern Kentucky. He gave up playing football in 6th grade. That's what he told Cleveland.com. So Michigan State football gets a recruit. Montori Foster, 0-star recruit, now heading to Michigan State football. All right, the Michigan men's basketball team will be in action tonight, hoping to improve on that 1-0 record to start the year, as they will play host to Creighton, the Blue Jays, who are also 1-0. So, Chrysler Center tonight, 6:30 p.m. We'll see if Juwan Howard gets win number 2. All right, and the Detroit Pistons fell to the Minnesota Timberwolves last night, 120-114. The Pistons tried to make a late comeback, but, yeah, it didn't happen. Minnesota was very good, played very good throughout the majority of that game. The Pistons now fall to 4-7 on the year as Minnesota improves to 6-4 on the year. The Detroit Red Wings are in action tonight. Puck drops slated for 10 p.m. as they will take on the Anaheim Ducks on the road. The Wings sit at 6-12-1 on the season. And former Boston Bruins head coach and well-known Canadian sportscaster Don Cherry, he has been fired. He was let go yesterday after stirring controversy with his on-camera comments about immigration. Cherry, the host of Coach's Corner on Hockey Night in Canada, he left viewers shocked during Saturday's segment after his remarks accusing, quote, you people, ostensibly a reference of immigrants, of disrespecting veterans on Canada's Remembrance Day. So Sportsnet president Bart Yabsley, he issued a statement yesterday announcing that Cherry would, quote, immediately step down following his divisive comments. This is what a statement on Twitter read, quote, sports brings people together. It unites us, not divides us. Following further discussion with Don Cherry after Saturday night's broadcast, it has been decided it is the right time for him to immediately step down. During the broadcast, he made divisive remarks that do not represent our values or what we stand for. So, in full disclosure here, Jack Kerwin behind the glass. Jack, you are a diehard hockey fan. I'm not. Don't know who in the world Don Cherry was before today, but he seems to be a pretty big name who really stuck his foot in his mouth yesterday, right?
Yeah, I mean, Don Cherry has always been known to speak his mind and not necessarily be politically correct at all.
So he's like the Charles Barkley of hockey, huh?
Yeah, sort of. And, like, growing up, we would tune in sometimes to Hockey Night in Canada in my house. And you know what? Let's put it this way. I don't know Don Cherry's thoughts, so I don't know if what he said was inherently racist in his mind. That being said, in 2019, when you drop a "you people," you're probably going to lose your job. So yep. I wasn't exactly surprised to hear this go down. And you know what? Again, going back to Don Cherry hasn't been politically correct for years, so I feel like his career was always going to end this way.
Really? So you kind of saw the writing on the wall?
Yeah, I mean,
something like this?
Yeah, you knew he was going to say something where, you know, Cherry's speaking his mind, and then that one's just going to be kind of the last straw. So,
right. Yeah,
it didn't surprise me to see that he'd lost his job at all.
Yeah, it's 2019. You cannot make comments like that. So, Don Cherry out from that network. All right, the Detroit Lions. They went to Philly and won. And just like that, they remained unbeaten 3 weeks into the season as they headed back home for a first-place clash against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the stock was soaring at that point. People were buying in, and the team looked like it had a real chance to compete. Even had me sipping some Kool-Aid at that moment. And since, they have won just one game. So, looking at things, the Lions currently hold the 11th pick in next year's NFL draft. How about that? And with 3 games in 6 weeks against teams in front of them, Washington, Tampa Bay, and Denver, there will be opportunities to move up. So I feel like you're going to have some fans out there, like I believe Jack is his way, where you want to see this team just continue to lose and up that draft stock. I don't think Matt Patricia's not leaving after this year, Jack. I know that's what.
Oh, he better
for.
Be.
No, he's
oh, not. He better be.
He'll be back. We can make maybe a friendly bet on that one. I think Matt Patricia's going to be back as the head coach next season.
The problem is, I feel like you're probably right, just because I don't think the Fords are the type of ownership to fire a guy 2 years into a 5-year contract like that.
Right, and that's Bob Quinn's guy. That's Quinn's guy, man.
Yeah, but I'm probably ready to pivot off of Bob Quinn as well. Bob Quinn's done okay as a personnel guy. You know, he drafted Kenny Galladay, but outside of that, he hasn't added a whole lot of star power to this roster. He paid Justin Coleman a bunch of money, and he's good when he plays outside as a slot cornerback, when he plays inside as a slot cornerback, but when he's pressed into the outside, he's absolutely terrible. You know, Kerryon Johnson all of a sudden can't stay healthy, so that pick doesn't necessarily look great either. And, I mean, what's been the best story for the Lions this year? It's been the play of Matt Stafford.
Yeah,
Bob
Matt
Quinn
Stafford,
didn't draft Matt Stafford. Right. And Daryl Bevel this season with the offense, you know, I don't give Daryl Bevel a whole lot of credit here because the Lions still can't run the ball.
Yeah.
It's just Matt Stafford's just playing very well this season.
This is the thing I think about, though, too. When you look at, you know, this year, and again, Matthew Stafford has been just out of his mind, you know, the dialogue could be totally different here. We could be talking about an entirely different subject when discussing the Detroit Lions, more so on the positive side of things, because they've lost some close games. I mean, I think about that Chiefs game. You know, the Packers, they lost by 1 point. You know, they had opportunities against the Raiders. I just look at this year and say to myself, the Lions, I mean, just imagine if they win that Chiefs game, you know, oh my goodness. And again, the Packers game, they're right there. It's a really thin line. And at the end of the day, though, this is a business where you got to get wins. And if you don't get wins and don't produce wins, you will be on the hot seat, out of a job, and the fan base will certainly turn on you. So that's just where things stand right now. The Lions will next take on my Dallas Cowboys. That's a loss. They're not beating my Cowboys. Just saying. So, keep it moving there. This game last night. Oh, my goodness. This has to be. There are a few candidates for Game of the Year out there, but I don't think any of those candidates compare to what we saw last night. That game I mean, the entire game, I'm glued to my television watching this. But if you did not watch the Seattle Seahawks and San Francisco 49ers matchup that went to overtime, I feel sorry for you. I really do. The Seahawks ended up pulling out a 27-24 win. It looked like Seattle was going to lose that thing, especially when you saw Russell Wilson, you know, underthrow, you know, that ball to the right side of the sideline. It was intercepted. It was picked off. Chase McLaughlin, the rookie, he came in and missed a really bad field goal that would have given San Fran the dub. But that was just a fun back and forth game. And right now, if I had a vote, Jack, when it comes to NFL MVP, I mean, we all know it right now. Russell Wilson is leading that conversation right now, right? He's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I would probably agree with that just because, you know, maybe for the first time in a while, I'm not sure Russell Wilson has the best supporting cast around him. And they're still 8-2. So absolutely, from that standpoint, I mean, the only running backs are probably Christian McCaffrey and then maybe Dalvin Cook, you know, Aaron Rodgers as well in Green Bay, because I think we're seeing that that defense is pretty fraudulent as well.
I want to throw in Kirk Cousins. I'm just throwing in Kirk for the sake of it.
See, I was gonna say I would throw in Lamar Jackson, but Kirk Cousins wins one big game, all of a sudden he's an MVP candidate.
Well, but I don't know about that. I mean, it's still the NFL. Anytime you can win on any given, you know, Thursday, Sunday, or Monday, I mean, it's positive. I mean, yeah, he's getting wins, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, he is. It's crazy.
Gosh, I can't believe that.
Absolutely crazy. You know who I want as the Lions' next head coach, by the way?
Who's that?
It's the 49ers' defensive coordinator.
Oh, you're
Robert Saleh, the guy who's from Dearborn,
yep,
who's like all juice on the sidelines, and he's got the best defense in the NFL.
They profiled him last night.
See, I don't know if he'd even be a good head coach, but I just see how hype he gets on the sidelines, and he's from Michigan.
Right.
That's my guy right there.
Right. No, I hear that. See, that's the kind of way, that's how I feel about a guy like P.J. Fleck, strictly from an energy standpoint. And P.J. Fleck is getting wins, by the way. That's the thing about Fleck.
I
love Fleck.
Yeah, but you got to let that go. He just signed an extension. He's not leaving Minnesota for Michigan State.
It's like my heart has just got broken. I know. I'm just saying, I would love if P.J. Fleck was here. It's probably going to be Luke Fickell, hopefully.
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 Hopefully. I don't know if we're there where we can say probably yet. I am very hopeful, and I will be ecstatic if they get him. But
if they get Luke Fickell, I'm just saying. All right. Well, yeah, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Got a lot to get to today. In just a moment, we're going to play for you the Mark D'Antonio press conference from this morning. Also, we have scheduled Cody Tucker, founder and publisher of 7220 Sports and also former features writer for the Lansing State Journal. We have him scheduled to talk about his piece from a couple of years ago profiling the late, great Charles Rogers. And we have Connor Mathis, also scheduled to join us live in studio, sports writer for the Argus Press in Owosso, Michigan, to talk about the week that was last week in the world of local high school football playoff action. So, let's keep it moving. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I want to say a happy Tuesday to you guys. It is November 1, 2019. Man, I'm still, I think I talked to my stepdad about 30 minutes after that at San Francisco 49ers and Seattle Seahawks game last night. That was just so fun to watch. And hope you guys enjoyed that. As we move along here on the sporting week, I also watched my Pistons lose to the T-Wolves. But, hey, the T-Wolves, I think, are a pretty decent team. That was a fun game to watch as well. The Pistons tried to come back, but Blake Griffin's debut ends a bit sour there. So, but, you know, Blake, you could tell Blake was a little rusty last night, trying to get his feet wet and back in the thick of things. even with that said, I mean, the man was 6 of 12 from the floor and had 19 points. That scoring total only second to Luke Kennard, who has been absolutely out of his mind throughout the course of just 11 games. 8 of 17 from the floor for Luke. Without a doubt, the best shooter on the team. 4 of 9 from the floor. So, yeah. All right, what I want to do right now, though. Now, also, a lot of people have been hitting me up about this. You guys know I'm a big TV buff. Disney Plus dropped today. How about that? Everybody's talking about that. I had a few coworkers I was chatting about with it. You know, I already got, like, Netflix and Amazon Prime. I don't know if I can add another subscription service. I don't know. I'll take somebody's password, though. If you want, if you got a password you want to shoot my way, please.
I want to check out. If you have two passwords you'd like to shoot our way, I'll take them. I'll take one as well. I need to be able to stream the Star Wars show.
Yo, The Mandalorian?
That looks sick.
Doesn't it look sick?
That looks so sick. Because I've been so disappointed for the most part in the Disney spinoff Star Wars movies.
Right.
But like a live action TV show, that's all I need, dude.
Looks amazing. It looks amazing. I'm scared to watch it because I know I'm going to fly through it in probably like one day. So I'm going to make sure I have some time when I decide to watch it, if I do get a password. So hook Jack and I up, if you got it. They actually show the, I believe, the newest trailer of The Mandalorian at halftime of last night's 49ers and Seahawks game, and it looks amazing. So happy Disney Plus Day as well. Okay, Mark D'Antonio, he hit the podium this morning. I know anytime we talk MSU football, I can just hear the collective sighs come through the airwaves from you guys. Like, oh boy, Al, do we got to talk about this team? Yeah, we have to. It's kind of part of my job description because the season is still going on. It's still a big week. Is it still a big week, Jack? I don't know, man. You know, this feels so weird because this is the only rivalry week when it comes to Michigan State football against Michigan football that I've just felt like, who cares? I don't know. I mean, that's just how I feel. I don't know if other people feel that way, but that's the way I feel. I mean, I think because Michigan State football especially, you know, we're talking about the worst loss in Mark D'Antonio's tenure on Saturday. We're talking about him being on the hot seat, and we're talking about coaching candidates every week on this show, and now you bring up rivalry week against Michigan, and it just it lacks a lot of luster right now.
You know what? This season feels so much worse to me than 3-9. And you want to know why? Was the whole time throughout the 3-9 season, I was convinced in my head because, you know, that same season Notre Dame went 4-8, and you saw Brian Kelly basically put a machete through his coaching staff, like throughout that season and then through the offseason. And I was convinced in my mind, there's no way D'Antonio is going to stand for this. We are going to reinvigorate the offense in the offseason. So I was actually excited to see what the new staff would look like because I just figured, you know, he was going to change everything up. And then he kept everyone together. And obviously we are where we are now. And, you know, I mean, D'Antonio's out of time. You know, the D'Antonio era has ended because he is elected to go down with the ship. Right. He is elected to let his assistants sink him, and there's nowhere else to go from here. Like, he's not going to be able to bounce back from this. They're not going to, how should I put this? I mean, I don't even think he wants to be here past this season anymore just because, you know, he's heard from fans and he knows how upset fans are. And I don't think he wants to burn those bridges and move off of his assistants that have let this get to where it is now.
I know. And you know what? As well, I thought about this yesterday. Coach D has reached a point now. And I hear you. When they went 3-9, you still had some hope there. Because you said to yourself, all right, you won three games, Mark. You got to make some drastic changes, right? And he decided to double down and still keep his coaching staff around, and we all know how that has ended up. But he's so defiant still. That's what amazes me. I mean, you know, just the press conference, you know, the postgame presser on Saturday, you and I were there along with Alec Rio, and when the question was asked by, who was it,
Pat Caputo? It was Pat Caputo, yeah.
Pat Caputo asked the question. You know, and it was a legit question. It's like, dude, you know, hey, do you have a message? Do you just have a message for fans out there, students, alum, Spartan Nation, about, you know, this season, the state of this season, the state of the program, anything you want to say to them? And Mark Antonio was just defiant and said, next question. He had his old hat. You know, we all know that famous press conference when he just said next question to everything. When he had an opportunity there to not calm the nerves, because I think it's beyond that point right now, but to answer it in a way that still evokes some kind of life into his program and into his players and into his staff. You know, you just take that and say, look, man, we're still battling here. Am I frustrated? For sure. You know, we should have won this game. Highly disappointed that we didn't win this game. And I'm sorry that we blew this game. This is on us. And we got to get better. You know, that's how you approach that. You just don't totally dismiss it and say next question. So that's where we're at with Michigan State football right now. And the fact that it's rivalry week, it's just like, I don't know, man. I think Fox is also, I want to pub this as well. Fox is dropping the Michigan State and Michigan rivalry documentary this week. Can we look up what day that is, Jack? I saw that come across my Twitter timeline. I'm not sure what day it's dropping. I don't know if it's tonight or tomorrow or Thursday. Who knows? But I'll get that information to you guys in just a moment. But before I do that, here is a bit of what Coach D'Antonio had to say this morning as Michigan State preps for Michigan this weekend.
First of all, obviously disappointed with last week game. I want to basically get on to the next thing, but we need to finish. Turnovers hurt us, put us behind the eight ball a little bit. Need to be able to respond. It's Michigan week this week, so we got to put that behind us and move forward. Got to have one focus as we move. And we played well down there in the past. They have an outstanding program. I think that when you look at them right now, you look at their defense, you're probably a top 15 defense. Do a great job, what I call running the sled, getting their feet, being disruptive and getting their feet into people and running people back. So we've got to be able to pass protect and the things of nature. That with that, as far as running the football, same type of thing, going to have to be able to run it some. Can't turn the football over in a rivalry game. And I think that's been our thing that we've got to be able to deal with more effectively. On the offensive side of the ball, you know, we've got four offensive linemen back. I think they're young at the running back position, experienced at the wide receiver position and quarterback position. They make some plays, create some loose plays with the quarterback, play well on special teams, well-coached football team. So got to compete daily, got to move forward here. It's a rivalry game, I think, is good for college football. It's good for this state. I've said many, many times over the course of time here that got to measure up in this football game. You know, you're green or you're blue in this state for the most part, and this crosses families and everything else involved with it. So I'll take some questions. We'll go from there.
Mark, just wondering if there's an update on Matt Dotson. We saw him injured on Saturday, yeah. And he's not on the depth chart. And same with Josiah. We saw him not come back, but he is listed, obviously.
Yeah, Josiah, I've always just tried to list people if we think they're going to play, but if they're definitely out, let you know. You know, Dotson tore his Achilles, so that's a season-ending injury, so he'll be out. So, as far as Josiah, we expect him to play.
Mark, over here to your left, I assume you never have a problem getting your team up for the Michigan State game. Is it a special challenge this year with what has gone on the last few weeks for you guys?
You know, I think that when you look at this football game, I think it sort of becomes, you know, it really does. You can sort of throw the records out a little bit, pretty much like Coach Harbaugh said yesterday. You know, I think that, you know, there's been times where they've been 4-0, we've been 1-3, yet have been able to find a way to win. So those type of things have happened in the past. Right now, for me, my main consideration is our football team and getting them down to the football game ready. And we've come and competed. We'll compete. We'll play hard. We just can't make mistakes to beat ourselves. And I think if you look at our season right now, you know, what's happened and what's transpired is you know, we've beaten ourselves in some respects. Other times we played good football teams. But, you know, you're playing a good football team in this case as well. You can't turn it over. And, you know, we're in the first – 5 games, and we had a very productive turnover ratio. And in the last, I guess, 4, it's probably been in the negative situation. That's what's hurt us. You know, we got 500 and whatever yards offense, and, you know, that type of thing this past week, and you know, but the turnovers and the quick turnovers and the quick scores were the issue.
Mark, over here, that offense you talked about. I know there were turnovers and some missed opportunities and at different points of the game, but overall, you mentioned the 500 yards, at 28 points in that first half. What positives do you take from what you saw, especially considering how you struggled the three games previously, points on the board?
You know, I think that we ran the ball effectively. Elijah gets 170 yards net. That's a big positive. Has some big explosive plays. You know, Lewerke has almost 100 yards rushing and 250 passing. Had some tipped balls that went the other the direction, you know, but had some balls, you know, a couple maybe dropped. And then we had a couple, you know, we had the one that, with the PI that was, you know, a little bit concerning that it was called. But, you know, that's another 50-yard gain taken away. So I think that the thing that you have to look forward, if you got to take from a positive perspective in the Illinois game, I think, is that, hey, we were productive. We had opportunities, and we moved the football. The things that happened were, from a negative perspective, were either them making a good play or us, you know, so sort of hitting ourselves in the foot. You know, I think you draw the positives from it that you can, and you try and fall forward in everything that we're doing.
Mark, over here. I know we talked to you right after the game, but Brian got hit in the head there at the in the fourth quarter. Was he okay? Did you guys have to go through any protocol with him concussion-wise? I know he played.
No, we looked at him. We didn't go through any protocol. We looked at him very quickly. Just I asked him, and he said he's good, and he motioned that to our trainers as well, so he just went on with it. No, nothing.
Mark, you mentioned the offense a little bit. Elijah having, you know, he had the breakout game in his first start, his first second career 100-yard game. Did you see anything different with him individually as far as vision or anything, or do you think it was part combination of him and the offensive line blocking a little bit better?
I think it was the offensive line a little bit, and I think that he had good vision, and he broke some tackles and ran through some tackles. He's a powerful guy. He goes about 225. He can run. He's deceptively fast. You know, I think he's faster than he looks on the film sometimes. He's a 4.5, 4.45 guy.
Mark, in terms of the identity of this program, just where do you rate the Michigan game? How important do you see it?
The Michigan game has always been a game I think that we've pointed towards ever since I've come here. I've said many, many times I didn't create that environment. You know, I'm just trying to empower it or, you know, stay with it. But I knew that if we were going to be successful here, ultimately, that we were going to have to win down the road some and here at home, and we were going to have to measure up in every time we played that football game. And so that's what we put into effect, that we were going to measure up in this football game. So, you know, I've been here 13 years. This is the 13th, so we need to do that again, and it's a constant thing because you're going to compete against them in everything that we do, whether it's recruits in the state or everything or on the field or on the basketball court or whatever it is, and the hockey rink. But it's just the way this is built here. You're going to compete against them in everything across the board. And so that's the way I've tried to approach it.
Mark, you said before the game last week that Noah would be the incoming starter going into next year, and he comes out and leads the team in tackles. Just curious what you saw from him, and then I guess how those three linebackers handled that situation.
Yeah, I thought Noah played pretty well for his first time out. You know, he had nine tackles. I think he had a sack, maybe a pass breakup. You know, the one pass breakup, you know, probably prevented an interception, but hey, we'll go with it. I thought he played pretty well. He was confident, and he ran his feet on contact, and he was aggressive. And the one thing that we talked about last week coming into the football game is we wanted to take initiative in everything that we were doing, and we wanted to be aggressive in everything we were doing. And I think we did that. I think that we did that with play calling. I think we did that with how we played. I think we did that all the way down to the end in terms of how we played on the goal line. But, you know, things caught up with us, and it just didn't happen. You know, there were too many technical things overall that, you know, would happen, whether it's play on a deep ball or whatever it is, that prevented that from happening. So very disappointed. It's one that I'll carry with me for probably the rest of my life. But that's coaching. It's happened before.
Mark, just back here in the back, two-parter for you. Do you feel any added pressure going into this game this year with how the season has unfolded at this point? Because this is the latest you guys have played Michigan in some time.
Yeah, it's the latest that I can remember. But, no, I don't feel any added pressure. I think that there's always pressure in this game because you're always, as I said earlier, you're always trying to measure up. So I don't feel any added pressure. It's just a big game. It's always been a national TV game, pretty much. It's always been a game that's had everybody looking at it, and so it's always been one of those type of situations. So, you know,
the road team has had success the past, I think, 5 years. Is there anything special, and maybe take us inside that bus ride down, that you guys have been able to maybe harness or, you know, focus on that when you get off the bus, you seem ready to play?
I'm not sure on that. You know, I just know that sometimes when you gather everybody around you and you go one place, one focus, you know, maybe you get a little bit more tuned in than it would be when you're at home, when there's some distractions with family coming into town or you know, a little bit of things of that nature. We try and get focused in everything that we're doing, home or away, but maybe there's a little extra on that bus ride. I'm not quite sure, but, you know, we want to win them all, you know, home or away. You know, it's disappointing when you win it. You lose at home, but point taken.
Okay, before I hit this first break, I got one problem. One pretty big problem with what was said just now in Mark D'Antonio's press conference. I think you guys know where I'm going with this. The fact that D'Antonio went on record just now to say that Brian Lewerke, we remember that play, right? When Brian Lewerke threw that horrible pick six. The play before that, he got hit in the back of the head. He was asked about it when we talked to him, as collective media members, after the game, and said, quote, "My head was ringing." D'Antonio said today that Brian Lewerke did not go through concussion protocol. Told the coach he was good. Motioned back to trainers. He was not examined after the game either. I mean, that's gross negligence, right? I mean, and you look at that play and you sit there and just say to yourself, what in the world was Brian Lewerke looking at? I think many people didn't know about, you know, his head ringing and the fact that he got, you know, hit in the back of the head, was looking at that and saying, that's just Brian Lewerke making a bad play. He kind of collapsed in that second half. But if you look at what happened in that play prior to that interception, Brian Lewerke had a concussion. Okay, that's what it seems like. And the fact that he was not examined even after the game, you know, I just think about what happened last year with Brian as well with the whole shoulder situation, and you kept throwing him out there. I mean, this is gross negligence, and there is no excuse for that kind of mistake. Looking out for your players and trying to protect your starting quarterback's overall health. I don't understand that. This is just bad. You know, it reminds me, remember the Brady Hoke and Shane Morris situation already when Brady Hoke was on the hot seat? You know, he threw Shane Morris back out there and that 30-14 loss against, I think it was Minnesota that year. It's bad, folks. I couldn't believe that Coach D said that. He was not even examined after the game either. All right. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite to the show Connor Mathis. Talk some high school football playoff action. Connor is now a sports writer for the Argus Press in Owosso, Michigan. Former current sports engineer in PA. We'll be right back. right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just played to you, for you, I should say, a bit of the press conference that took place this morning. Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football program, as the Spartans are now preparing to take on Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines out in a squared on Saturday afternoon. I told you guys that I would pass along, if you don't already know, the broadcast information for Divided We Stand, the Michigan versus Michigan State rivalry. It's a documentary. It looks pretty compelling. I just watched the trailer. Tom Izzo's in it, Draymond Green, Kirk Cousins, I mean, Devin Gardner, a lot of different faces that have played in this rivalry over the years. And that will air on Fox Sports 1 at 11 p.m. on Thursday night. That is after Michigan State takes on Seton Hall on the basketball hardwood. Okay? So the trailer looks great. I'm excited to see it. You know, maybe that will get you fired up if you aren't fired up Spartan fans for that game on Saturday afternoon. But again, I on my Twitter feed, I just ushered you guys into that first break by telling you my thoughts on how Coach D'Antonio, and you heard him just now, his coaching staff did not reevaluate Brian Lewerke, who looked to have a concussion after that game, after that loss against Illinois. When he threw that pick six, that horrible pick six, it was just, I thought it was just a bad throw. But looking back at it, yeah, it looked like the play prior to, he got hit in the back of the head. After the game, he said his head was ringing, and he was not examined after the game. Not in that moment, and not even after the game. So I retweeted my good buddy, Doug Warren of Spotlight Radio, and he retweeted Chris Solari's tweet, which read, D'Antonio said Lewerke did not go through concussion protocol, told coach he was good, motioned back to trainers, I should say, was not examined after game either, and Doug said, what in the heck is going on with this football program? Gross negligence and absolutely inexcusable. And yeah, that's where we're at this point with this program right now. I just can't believe it. So, with that being said, I want to invite our in-studio guest to WKAR's Current Sports. He's an MSU alum, former Current Sports PA and engineer, and still a contributor here on the show, ushering us into the thick of things when it comes to high school football playoff action, seeing as though he is now a sports writer in Owosso, Michigan, for the Argus Press. Connor Mathis now joins us live in studio. Connor, what's up, my man? Good to see you as always.
Good to see you too, Al. Good to be back.
MSU football. You just heard my rant about MSU football and Brian Lewerke. Just any thoughts before we dive into some high school football chatter? Any thoughts as to what you saw on Saturday, my man?
There are two Spartans in our newsroom up there, and it's me and my coworker Jerome. And as soon as they got, I think when Illinois made it to 17, I'm like, they're losing this game. I just knew it. Like, they're losing this game. They're playing not to lose again.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like since 2015, it's been the same story with Spartan football. Instead of playing to win and playing to beat the crap out of other teams, it's we got a 14-point lead. That's enough. And then just let's run out the clock. I mean, it's ridiculous to me. You shouldn't be losing games at home to Illinois.
Wait, counterpoint, though. In 2016, they didn't play not to lose because they were trailing in all of those games, so they couldn't even play like they were ahead.
That's true, Jack. That's a good point, Jack.
Good point.
And you know what? I told Jack and Alec this. When we were walking back to the parking lot, Jack, remember when I mentioned the Cody White catch, which was called back for a pass interference? It was pass interference. And then it goes to first and 25. And I was talking to you guys about this. The first two plays of that drive, Connor, were these little small five-yard dumps. And you could tell right then that Michigan State, just like you said, was playing not to lose instead of going for the throw. And once that happened, it just was all downhill.
It's also crazy for me, too. At the end of the game, the end of the Illinois game, it was essentially the same situation as the last 2 years against Arizona State. Mm-hmm. Illinois got the ball. They're driving. They're trying to score. And you're waiting until how long into the clock to call your timeouts? Yep. It doesn't make any sense. You'd think you would learn from losing twice to a better team in Arizona State. And not to say, I mean, Illinois looks like they're going to make a bowl game this year. They look like they're kind of, Lovie Smith's kind of starting to turn around things there. But, I mean, come on. You got to learn from your mistakes. And I'm just so sick of seeing this sorry football team go up by like four, go up by even like seven sometimes and think, oh, we're good. This is all we need. We don't need a score anymore. We can just run out the clock. You can't do that.
Right.
At any level of football.
Right. That's so true. Okay, let's talk some high school football now, because when it comes to last week's action, I just want to pass along some scores for those that haven't been following local high school football playoff action. This is how it panned out on Friday's games, which were district championship games.
Except for 8-man, which was
That was regional championships,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in D3 on Friday, DeWitt beat St. John's. Well, not just beat them, but just totally handed it to them. 40-7. So the Panthers get that win. In D4, Fowlerville's season ended at the hands of Flint Powers, 13-12. Very close game there. In Division 5, Lansing Catholic blew out Portland in a shutout victory, 21-0. And then we move to D7, where we saw Pawama Westphalia beat Kent City, 41-0. And then Division 8, Fowler beat Flint Beecher in a very tight one, one-point victory there, 21-20. And also in 8-man Division 1 football, Morris over Deckerville, 50-24. And on Saturday, D2 8-man, Portland St. Pat beat North Huron, 51-14. Let's start with the game you were at last week, Connor. We previewed this matchup with you last week. Morris and Deckerville, 50-24, as Morris now moves on. Can you just kind of recap what you saw in that one?
So the score does not indicate how close that game was in the first half. In the first half, you had the two teams kind of trading off blows. It was 8-8 at the end of the first, and then we went on to the second quarter, and that's when Morris got a 20 to 16 lead. But they were missed. They had missed their extra points, which Morris 9 times out of 10 will go for 2. They do have a pseudo kicker who's he can hit decent, like those close chip-ins, and probably could hit the extra points, but I mean, their running game is good enough to where, you know, they usually go for 2. But Deckerville was giving them all they could handle for that first half. And actually towards the end of that half, it looked like Deckerville might actually get a lead. I'll walk through what happened there. Morris went to fourth down. They threw an interception on fourth down instead of punting it. It was effectively, it was a punt. They just kind of threw it deep and, you know, guy intercepted, stepped out of bounds. But then Deckerville started driving. So Deckerville ripped off this huge run to get him down to get him into the red zone. 22 seconds left on the clock. They then got a QB scramble. They were trying to pass it. They scrambled down to basically the five to seven yard line, 5 seconds left. The last play of the last play of the half was Deckerville trying to, it was, if I remember correctly, it was a trick play. They tried to throw it back to their quarterback who was on the 1 yard line, and the Morris defender, Jarrett Wood, made a huge play, jumped in front of it and swatted down. From that point on, it was all Morris. They opened up the second half on what their coach had told me was a squib. There was a design squib, but he said, we didn't do it well enough. So the squib ended up going just far enough, hitting the Deckerville, hitting the front Deckerville return man. Morris recovers, drives down, scores. They then force a fumble. Morris gets it back, drives down, scores, and then it kind of broke Deckerville down.
Wow.
And Morris just kind of ran with it.
So this thing was a tale of two halves. Mm-hmm. Morris and Deckerville was very close in that first half, but then the second half, some early mistakes, it seems like, led to Deckerville just getting blown out
and
of
that,
the water.
And also that Morris defense from first half to second half, night and day. They flipped a switch in the second half, and they were on top of everything. In the first half, Deckerville was actually able to get some offense going. They were able to sustain some drives. Runs were working. Passing was working. Mm-hmm. But in that second half, the Morris defense stepped up and just kept them contained.
So that was regionals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a regional championship for Morris. They move on now to play who?
They are playing Colon in it's about an hour and a half south of here.
Gotcha.
And that's
is this the matchup that determines who goes to Ford Field, right?
Not Ford. They go to the Superior Dome.
The Superior Dome is where eight-man football plays. Okay.
And that would be if they win on Saturday, they'll go the Superior Dome next week. They play a full week ahead of the usual Ford Field matchups. I think it's partially just to make sure that they get the attention.
Right.
Because, you know, it's already hard enough to cover how many championships at Ford Field in a two-day span. If you threw eight-man in there, it'd probably be just chaotic. And a lot of these eight-man teams are based in the UP or, you know, the northern part of the Thumb or more northern Michigan anyway. So
okay. The matchup against Colon, do you know much about them right now?
I don't know much about Colon, but I will say I don't see Morris losing.
You don't?
I don't see it happening because, you know, even that first half, I saw Deckerville was able to work some things that, they might be in trouble here. Mm-hmm. But, again, like a light switch, that defense can turn it on in an instant. And I don't see many teams in eight-man football being able to score on that defense consistently enough. And then if that defense is rolling, like I said last week, Morris's offense is all run heavy, and it's not the cutesy read options and other things like that. No, it's go in, hit you, and keep on going. That wears down another team's defense. So essentially, if Morris gets a two-score lead, they're usually good. They're good to go because that defense usually holds strong, and that offense almost always scores. Or if they don't score, they get deep enough into the opposing territory that they've burnt a ton of clock. Like, relatively speaking, that game went by pretty quickly.
Yeah,
that first half is 8-8 because they're running it a lot. The other team's running a little, but they're throwing it to passing. But Morris's entire offense is predicated on the run. So if you can do that, I mean, they're in a really good position. The way that they're able to, like, flip a switch and just, you know, go from I don't know if they're going to be able to pull this out to just we've got it, no problem.
That's amazing. So, a touchdown or two touchdown lead feels like you're up by 50 because of that defense.
And they usually score on their first drive too. Their coach Kendall Crockett told me that one of their big focuses is to get out early and start. They scored on their first possession of this game. I mean, they try to get in early, and again, that's also like a mental factor. If your opponent scores on the first drive, and then it puts a lot of pressure on your offense to then answer that
with
points, and if Morris's defense is clicking, then that's pretty hard to do.
Portland St. Pat, as I mentioned, they beat North Huron in eight-man Division II, 51-14. I know you weren't at that game, but you've seen Portland St. Pat throughout the year, or no?
No, because Morris is the Division I, so I haven't really watched any of the Division II eight-man.
Okay. The rest of the slate, anything that stands out? When I mentioned those scores, DeWitt wins, Flint Powers ended the season of Fowlerville, but Lansing Catholic moves on, Powama Westphalia moves on, Fowler moves on. Out of those scores, out of those teams, what really stands out to you, Connor?
I wasn't surprised that Lansing Catholic advances. I wasn't surprised that DeWitt kind of just took it to St. John's. PW is going to be facing off against New Lothrop, and that's been a matchup the last couple of years that's been like, oh, these are the whoever wins this might be the state champion. And so I think that's going to be a really, really good game, a really good test for New Lothrop. Mm-hmm. PW's defense has been great all season, and like I told you last week, New Lothrop's defense is letting a touchdown a game.
Wow. So this could be a clash.
It hasn't scored under 41 points in a year and a half.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a really good game. For PW, they have to keep their eye out because New Lothrop has faced teams this season that are on paper matching up with them really well. And they did. And New Lothrop against Frankenmuth beat the brakes off of Frankenmuth. They won that game, I think 46-22. And then they just beat Beaverton 42-7, and Beaverton on paper was a good matchup for New Lothrop. So that should be a really good game on Friday.
Awesome. All right, Connor, how can people read your work? Where will you be at this weekend? And we'll try to get you on next week as well.
You can read it on ArgusPress.com. Again, there is an Argus Press that's based in the Dakotas. That's not us. It will say Argus Press Owosso. I usually tweet for most of the game. Actually, at Morris, I was in Deckerville. It was cold enough that one of my pens froze. The other one blew up. So I was tweeting the whole game for my notes instead of writing them. So that was fun. But yeah, I'll usually tweet out whatever game I'm covering for football. I'm going to be at Colon for Morris Colon, which is Saturday at 1 p.m., I believe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's going to be the game I cover. And my coworker Jerome will be covering New Lothrop, Pomona, Westphalia.
All right, Connor, you're doing great work, man. And hopefully it's not that cold this weekend. I know it's really bad outside right now, right? I mean, you had to like... just be careful on the roads too for our listeners. I didn't know we were getting that much snow.
I didn't
these
either.
Last 2 days.
I didn't either. I was planning on going to the gym yesterday, and then I looked outside. I'm like, "Yep, my car is in snow. I'm good."
Yeah, it's not happening. So hopefully this weekend is better to you, brother. Keep up the great work, and thank you so much, man, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Nah, we do got time for a second break, Jack. Let's swap out the second break. Let's go to our phone lines right now. We've got Ray from Indiana that is dying to get on the airways before we say goodbye, Ray. What's up, my man?
Go, Spartans! Beat the bullies! The bully Saturdays!
Yep, I knew that was coming. Knew that was coming. What's up, Ray? It's rivalry week. What do you think happens on Saturday,
you
Ray?
You can save your whole season. It's been terrible, terrible all year. If you could win that game somehow Saturday with another miracle like you did two or three other times up there, maybe you could... get Jimmy Harbaugh what he deserves. He's going to – here's the good news and here's the bad news. The good news, Harbaugh is going to get fired. The bad news, he's going to go to the Detroit Lions as your new coach.
Nope.
No, that isn't – that is not – that's not going to happen, Ray. Come on now.
Yeah, that's what the Lions deserve. They've been like that for 60 years. The good news, he's going to get fired. The bad news, he's going to go to the Detroit Lions.
That's the hot take of the day.
Mediocre coach.
Oh, boy. Ray from Indiana, folks.
Have a good one, my friend.
All right.
Go Sparties.
How can you not love Ray? Jack, I think we need to cut up the Ray from Indiana laugh. I don't think I've ever heard that laugh. That was like Joaquin Phoenix Joker-like. Was that not? That was
yeah,
like
a- no, I think we're going to have to save that one. We're going to have to make that a drop because I've never heard him laugh like that either.
Never. That was like, am I listening to the Joker right now? Why, my goodness. All right, Ray from Indiana ushering us out with a bang here on this Tuesday edition of Current Sports. We couldn't get Cody on. Cody is a busy man. I'm going to try. I promise you, we'll get Cody on tomorrow, okay? Cody Tucker will be on the show tomorrow. But much thanks to Connor Mathis for coming in on his day off. Jack Kerwin behind the glass engineering. And, of course, to all of our listeners out there, thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your day. We'll see you on the Hump Day edition of the show tomorrow, Wednesday, November 13th. But until then, have a fantastic afternoon and evening. And be easy, people.